Chapter 2. A Blown Away Leaf. Dearest son, in 2011, I accepted an academic job in New Jersey, 1,804 miles away from our house in San Antonio. Your mother had decided in the 11th hour, under extraordinary pressures, both internal and external, not to move. The rest of the details are incidental for now, and your mother and I have made, and continue to make, almost cultural and generation-defying steps to keep us together. I have forgiven her, and hopefully she has forgiven me. Still, the period that followed your Thanksgiving visit was among the darkest and most difficult of my life. Here is a chronological tapestry of memories of you from your visit to New Jersey for Thanksgiving, 2011. I wrote a blown-away leaf for you in a restless, taxing two-hour sprint on the balcony through tears with lots of migrating geese overhead, spirits, Janacek's a blown-away leaf, and rapid flipping through iPhoto albums from your visit. I left my finger on the right arrow of my laptop, allowing the pictures to scroll by, creating what my friend Molly would refer to as a low-budget GIF. She would later point out that the acronym GIF is pronounced JIF, noting I pronounced it wrong in the song. I left it imperfect to remind you of how quickly this song's birth came. It was natural. Wet bar as wet nurse, labor as birth without prelude, bouncing. Consider reading through this tapestry fast, detached from any sense of the linear, encouraging the imagery to blur, overlap, interpolate, imagining the flipping sounds of the pictures as highly articulate flamenco-style guitar notes.
Silhouette of your head in the window of your first flight bowl of tricks, sitting on snow blue glass spoon, has a color that matches the serious orange leather you sit on, feet dangling lots of blue stripes on pajama pants, leaf in one hand, climbing playground ropes gap, hoodie blurry swinging and smiling clinging knuckles, dusk lighting and pebble ripples movement and running all blurred, but your complete attention. Meditative white swans caught mid-toss pebbles in both hands above your head, focus on surface below the water with reflections of twilight light fades, leaving pink cheeks and earlobes. A stick hurled and splash your leaf nearby, even less light. Only a white swan and the red of the inside of your hood remain asleep on a gingham cloud light again. Next day, fields of geese, you chase a Mendham street corner, you holding a massive dark green umbrella, intense red strip of safety, sidewalk materials matches the marinara of the next shot, and the red of your Pepsi cup in the next life-size snow globe, blues slurred in phony snowbanks, a series of 21 picks, the GIF epicenter. Animate a fuzzy magenta and navy world with white flying phony snow-flung bliss is intense spotlight, slices the trickles of floating sinewy frog sperm-like hastens and bursts into and all over the next few images. I happily stop in a cyan miasma where your smile resists time and description. An overload of motion form and golden mean sears and upper corner background lights blur into pearls, counterfeit snow fuzzes into shards from your flinging hand immediately dark. Nothing but a tiny iPhone movie and the Hitchcockish outline of your fading face, bright day leaf in hand with bronze presidents in foreground curves of bricks below jumbo jet, above pumpkin pie and holiday food, sour face foretells future tricks images, inexplicable flash of package of chorizo, two adjacent pics of you and I on a bench that I toggle between two adjacent pics of you and I on a bench that I toggle between stuck in this motion until snapped by you crashed out in a car seat, Asbury Park Beach, hipstamatic settings, pinkish hue glories, warm outlines entirely on time, cirrostratus, footprints and beach foam, evenly spaced suds, rings in a pint glass. One pic of you shoes off and pants, rolled in era is required to look into the contrast to illuminate your delight. That's it. I can stay on this one until the battery runs out, but hopping in puddles wise, exposure timing click, caught a handful of beach dregs flung above your head. You look back at me, snot charms below your nose, big eyes, cheeks high by a mile wide smile. This, the last picture I took of you, is the first thing I think of when I think of your visit.
Dearest son, you'll hear a gentle swell of introductory harmonies in typical pop music fashion, likely influenced by production techniques popular in the 1980s. While exploring sounds for the song, I searched for a way to represent a consistent itching anxiety, something that would juxtapose nicely with cliche sounds of longing. Slide guitar seemed perfect for the sighing, for the itchiness. After days of contemplation, I settled on the swelling strains of an old-school Moog sawtooth wave. These two elements were meant to stay intertwined throughout the song. I rigged my Epiphone guitar specifically to render the slide lines. As I mentioned to you before, the song's composition was impulsive, and the recording process mirrored that. Rash. The air compressors outside my window were so ridiculously loud. The noise bleeding into the vocal tracks was a nightmare at first. As I began aligning the voice with the texture, I discovered that the papery, vulnerable quality created by the compressor noise and my imperfect attempts to remove it brought an unexpected depth. It felt raw and honest. All the vocal harmonies in the song are synthetic, created using native instruments, the mouth. This software allows you to route a main vocal track through it, snapping the output to pre-composed performance data, or MIDI. My long-standing fascination with the interplay between man and machine, between emotion and binary response, between impulse and pulse, is evident here. These synthetic harmonies are layered under a bed of real and virtual instruments.
Earlier, you decided to linger on the leaf. You found on the ground outside my faraway home, yet just right here on this blue ball.
Their range and style were inspired by early Peter Gabriel and British vocal techniques from the late 1970s and 80s, evoking a vague, forlorn smear that complemented the impressionistic itchiness underscored by the Janacek-style harmonies. The Latin-inspired bossa nova percussion elements in the middle and during the final verse were a very last-minute addition. One night, nearly 18 months after the song was written, I was playing around with Adobe Flash and imported a little video of you dancing on the boardwalk in Asbury Park. Just before the video was shot, a wave had taken you under. You were wet and cold, so we stripped you and dressed you in my black half-zip turtleneck. It looked like a little mini muumuu on you. Despite being sandy, cold, and exhausted, you managed to channel a pseudo-70s dance move. I will never forget that move set. It happened as we passed by a busker strumming a guitar and singing for coins. In Flash, I created an animated GIF of you doing that dance move. When looped, it looked like a drunken Latin strut. On a whim, I dropped the GIF into Logic, where I was working on the song and it just clicked. You composed that part, not me. I was merely the translator. The reference to geese in the song was inspired by the surreal number of them flying overhead during its composition. Their guttural calls are remarkably complex and carry an incredible yearning. That sound influenced the Moog sawtooth wave strains, which have a similar textured quality when used as background. The longing inherent in their calls and the fact that they were all flying in your geographical direction is the most visceral, touchable memory I have of writing this song for you. Here's a relic of a truly dreadful mix and master of the song from 2014. The cringe-worthy post-production is a testament to several factors. My studio was nestled in Corrigan Hall, one of the oldest and noisiest buildings at Seton Hall University. The arts weren't exactly a priority for the university, which made sense given our tiny pool of art students. Add to that the chaos of clattering pipes, creaking floors, and the occasional ghost of Seton Hall past, and you've got a less than ideal recording environment. As I've alluded to earlier in this series, I was also wrestling with alcohol at the time, a cunning saboteur that, more often than not, convinced me the post-production on this track and the entire album was nothing short of genius. The lo-fi charm? A deliberate, mindful, artistic choice, whispered the booze. But oh, what a liar it was. God, it's like chewing on tinfoil. Painful and oddly metallic. Let me introduce you to the phoenix that rose from those papery ashes, reborn and polished. A reflection of what a sober, affirming, and truly mindful life can bring to music, memories, and the spirit itself. It's 200 proof that sometimes you can turn trash into treasure and self-delusion into something almost transcendent.
Earlier, you decided to just right here on a blue ball. This windy journey blown a long way from home by late summer winds that deliver lonely nights filled with flocks of geese. Decided to linger on the leaf you found on the ground outside my faraway home, yet just right here on this blue ball. Won't you take these seeds preserved in my heart that will
In early 2009, while you were gently germinating in your mama's belly, I was immersed in sketches and research for my dissertation, a chamber piece called The Sensuous Terrain. Its first movement, Tadab Now, Heliotrope Intonation, was the last to be completed because I was waiting for a natural, almost environmental response to guide its structure. That response arrived almost karmically on a rainy day as I walked across Trinity University's campus in San Antonio, where I was adjuncting. The ground was blanketed with glistening, matted maple leaves. In a contemplative moment, I hallucinated a single perfect maple leaf among millions of cold replicas. Its form grafted seamlessly with standard musical notation in my mind. A cross-pollination of botany and musical elements. I took the leaf home and scanned it before it could deteriorate further. Heliotrope refers to an intoxicating and explosive scent I found in a Middle Eastern boutique in Austin halfway into the writing of the piece. In fact, son, all kidding aside, if I could have written this piece with a scratch and sniff element, I certainly would have. The movement's title is both a reference to the movie Apocalypse Now and to the instant gratification associated with much of Western culture, as opposed to the significant amount of time required, often several hours, to achieve Tadab in Middle Eastern culture. Using Photoshop, I began overlaying the leaf with images of musical material from upcoming movements, a sudden, fleeting musical interpretation of my own Sufist ecstasy. It manifested as an intonation, reminiscent of the openings in many works by the late Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, the legendary master of Sufi spiritual music. In his intonations, Ali Khan often starts in a very muted tone and builds to a more distinct quality as the piece formally begins. For those unable to understand the words, Khan once noted that the exact effect sought by the master's words will be created by the music alone. I found this notion to be particularly moving and inspiring, and somehow related to the spiritual and serendipitous circumstances which led me to discover the leaf. Here is the final version of Heliotrope Intonation, which for the players in the ensemble folded out into a 16 by 24 poster. English author, lecturer, and researcher Rupert Sheldrake conceived a radical and often ridiculed concept called morphic resonance, in which he suggests that memory is inherent in nature, and natural systems such as termite colonies, or pigeons, or orchid plants, or insulin molecules inherit a collective memory from all previous things of their kind. For example, Sheldrake wants us to wonder how a mushroom knows what to do. It starts as a mass of little fibers that somehow know where to go, how to form, and how to become a mushroom. Around the same time that both my dissertation and you were brewing in their respective cauldrons, I found myself immersed in podcasts from Ideas on CBC Radio. One series in particular, How to Think About Science, captured my imagination. It featured fascinating thinkers and their often unconventional approaches to understanding science. Among them was Sheldrake. Dearest son, the day you stopped to linger, you picked out a single faultless maple leaf among millions of cold and matted replicas. The way you studied it, so deliberately, with your complete attention. There was something else in your eye in those slow, rolling, low-budget GIF moments. A pesky primordial mystery. An ambient, ancient voice. At the time, I had little use for Sheldrake's ideas. I generally just liked how his staccato British accent helped give credence to his thoughts and the air of intellectual rigor he and his iconoclast buddies were giving me whilst working on my dissertation. But now, having come back to add this part to the podcast after this mini epiphany, thinking it was more or less done, I can't help but suspect that in those cold moments, standing there silent, staring at the maple leaf, you were reaching back into our collective time and sharing a single memory with me. Or perhaps, at the very moment the leaf movement idea came to me while walking across Trinity 4 years earlier, I was sharing your future fascination experienced in New Jersey on a very cold Thanksgiving day. In any case, son, I love you very, very much.